the Diocese of Des Moines prayerfully and proudly presents In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, a half hour of news, conversation, and reflection. And now, broadcasting In the Heartland, the Most Reverend Richard E. Pates, Bishop of Des Moines.
Welcome to In the Heartland with Bishop Pates. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we're visiting with Dr. Tracy Bonday, Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Des Moines, and Dr. Jerry Deegan of the Blue Ribbon Task Force to talk about the recent school summit and strategic planning process. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on the bishop's mind.
Good morning, Kelly. How are
you? Good morning, Bishop. Good. How are you?
We're blessed with this beautiful, beautiful day here in
Des
Moines.
Yes, we certainly
are. A little
bit
deceptive because of the fact that, you know, as you go around, almost half of the counties in Iowa have some sort of issue with regard to flooding and water right now. Mm-hmm. It's very, very tragic in the western end of our own diocese where we're confronting some very serious issues with our towns, our churches, et cetera. You know, Hamburg is kind of a feature that's been even in the national press, that picture that you've seen underwater and very, very devastating mm-hmm. for the people and for the situation. And there's also Our Lady of the Holy Rosary in Glenwood. And not Glenwood itself so much, but Pacific Junction, from which a lot of their people come to participate in the church itself. Mm-hmm. St. Mary in Shenandoah, St. Patrick in Missouri Valley, Holy Family in Mandamin, and St. Anne Parish even in Logan, a little bit away from the water itself. But, you know, we're working with those people. We've been in communication with the pastors, with the others that are involved with it, and also trying to monitor it through our Catholic Charities. So, you know, terrific devastation. You know, they're comparing this flood to one of the two worst, I forget the exact years, in the past. And so we have to be enormously attentive to what we can do for them. And when we reach out and try to do what we can to alleviate some of the damage that's been done, some of that which they've occurred, we'll do so through Catholic Charities here mm-hmm. in the Diocese of Des Moines and Catholic Charities USA. So hopefully today we'll get out some information through all of our parishes is exactly how they can be of assistance. Number one, right at the present time, of course, is prayer, mm-hmm. that we have to be with the folks in solidarity and prayer and recognize, you know, that this water damage and the what's left behind by floods is tremendously traumatic and difficult to handle. So our first of all, we want to say to our people out there in these different towns, especially in Hamburg and in that area, that our prayers and support are with them, that our solidarity is with them, and that we're certainly attending to do all that we can do to make a difference. And secondly, we would invite them, our parishes, to provide some help as we go forward. Some Hamburg would be the one parish that in particular would need significant assistance, but also some of the others in terms of helping the individuals. So it has to be a kind of a cooperative movement with the Red Cross, with also with the, you know, the government in terms of how it responds to those needs out there in the situation. And together, you know, make sure that everybody is assisted and everybody is helped in the best possible way. Mm-hmm. So what can we do? We kind of keep moving. Hope that, you know, pray to God that these rains slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. The melting is not as, you know, it's perhaps spread out over a little bit more time so that the rivers, et cetera, can help them and move forward in a very positive way. So that's the situation. We'll be in contact with our pastors and also issue a bit of a news release as to what can be done later on, hopefully this morning yet, when we return to the Pastoral Center. Wonderful events in the course of the past week. Had an opportunity to be out in Atlantic with our friend Father Shinapan Devaraj, or known as Father Chinna, and a celebration of his priest's 25 years. You know, recognize the service, the dedication, the life that he has led that has been so, you know, authentic and beneficial for the people that have experienced his pastoral ministry. It's a great celebration, wonderful people, a great, tremendous spirit. And then on Sunday, went to wonderful people in Carlisle, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and with the people from with Jim Kirby, and again, that they have broken ground for a long-term expansion project that they have in mind. Carlisle is finally coming in line in terms of expansion so that their church and their facility is going forward. So lots of enthusiasm, lots of excitement, and it's always positive to see on the upward trend to be with the people.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll welcome Dr. Tracy Bonday and Dr. Jerry Deegan to talk about the school summit and strategic plan. You're listening to In the Heartland with Bishop Pates on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
50 years ago, tuition and costs at Catholic elementary schools were mostly absorbed by parishes. Now, higher salaries for lay teachers and new technologies have greatly increased the cost for families. Hi, I'm Jean Wells at the Catholic Tuition Organization, and my job is to reduce tuition costs for families and award great tax credits to generous donors. Want to help? Please donate today at ctoiowa.org. Let's do this for the kids and their future.
Thank you, Blessed International, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Everyone lives their life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Each year, Blessed International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessedinternational.org. That's blessedinternational.org.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates is heard every Friday morning at 9 across Central Iowa on Iowa Catholic Radio and in Nebraska and Southwest Iowa on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we're visiting with Dr. Tracy Bonde, Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Des Moines, and Dr. Jerry Deegan of the Blue Ribbon Task Force to talk about the recent school summit and school strategic planning process.
Well, good morning, doctors.
Morning.
Delighted
good morning.
To have you with us. Very proud in your doctors of education and certainly serving our community well through all of your development, etc. You know, I'd just like to begin this conversation with saying how proud I am of the schools here in the Diocese of Des Moines. They have, you know, over the years had high academic scores, and I think have produced wonderful students that have gone on to, you know, careers of distinction and also served well in the higher learning. So they've done well in that aspect. They have, I think, done wonderful extracurricular activities, you know, as we can look at our friends out at Dahlin Catholic, six straight in football championships. Not going to do better. A record probably is not going to be achieved again. But that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg, because you look further on down, the wonderful accomplishments and all that's really being achieved in a very beautiful way in all of those areas. And I'm so very proud of the students. And also, you know, most importantly for me, and not to be overlooked, is a strong religious formation. And I think that, you know, that is extraordinarily important in terms of the face of very stiff secular headwinds, you know, that are so very prominent in our society itself. It's going to affect our educational systems and our outlook and, you know, I think the moral base. That we may be in denial about that, but that's, in fact, the reality that we have to work about. And I think that, you know, one of the things is that we are called here in the diocese, et cetera, to return to the very basic realities, because if religion is ever going to take hold and have, you know, an outcome that, you know, it was really envisioned by Jesus, that there has to be that personal relationship that is developed with Jesus, and, you know, it comes from the teachers. I think as we move forward, we're going to have to work with the parents in a very strong way, and how we incorporate them is always a significant, significant challenge. And even in enrollment, I think, basically, since I've been here, that has hovered around 6,000 students. So, you know, given all the times, all situations, and comparative figures across the country, we're doing okay, but we have to do better. And that's what I think we're really looking about. So I look at it from the perspective of we've had good schools. There have been a strong history. They're strong basically right now, but we need to move. We need to keep up with the times, and that was the understanding of the study that we underwent, the Meitler study, and now we're at the point where we're implementing that. So I think you're here today, again, to talk about some of the background and up to that study, and then to see what we envision as to its implementation moving forward. So, Dr. Bonde, what are some of the strengths that, you know, maybe outline some of them that we would look at? And then, you know, in terms of the empty, the also opportunities for improvement and growth. We find I'm very, very committed to Catholic education, and I think all of our people are who are involved in it, you know, so this is why we are particularly attentive to it. But perhaps can you talk about the strengths and then, you know, the challenges that we face?
Sure, Bishop. I think, as you mentioned, obviously we are a system that is relatively strong. We have good, solid academic programs. We have students that are performing well on standardized assessments, and we have schools that have strong faith communities. But as you mentioned, there's always room for improvement. I think that whole question of how to engage our families better, not only within the school community, but certainly when we want to see better family engagement within our parishes. We want to make sure we're doing everything possible to help our parents to make disciples out of their children. So that certainly is first and foremost among our faith goals with the strategic planning process. And as you mentioned, enrollment is an issue that many face in the Catholic school world across the country. Des Moines itself has seen a 3% decrease in students since 2012. That means we're down about 203 students in the last 7 years. So certainly we want to look at ways that we can work to increase enrollment in our schools. And it's interesting when we think about it numerically that a simple 1% change in enrollment is 1,300 additional students in our schools, which would have us at full capacity. And I think that, you know, not only do we want to see that happen because we know that our results are better when students are educated in Catholic schools. The Pew studies indicate that they are more active in their faith as young adults and going into full adulthood. And we certainly need that for our parishes to survive long term.
I think one of the issues, you know, again, is the location of our buildings. Our schools here in Des Moines itself, they're concentrated in the inner ring of the city of itself. How we make those attractive, I think, to those from the outer ring, and so that they can participate and have the mentality that, you know, it really can be a viable opportunity for them. And I think to emphasize the strengths of the individual schools and also to do other issues that would be, you know, enable them to be attractive to the outer ring, because I think the population is there. The Diocese of Des Moines last 10 years in terms of actual Catholic population has increased 15%. So, you know, we want to take advantage of that and the growth. And I think that the anticipation of the future is very bright because the city itself will grow given its location and its, you know, opportunity. People like to be here. The cost of living is relatively mild, not so overwhelming. I think it's also a great place to raise families. But we need also, I think, that history of our religious education. So those are some of the ideas that we got. These strengths, we got enrollment, but we have to look at issues otherwise too. I think, Dr. Deegan, perhaps you could, you know, in terms of specialization. Also, you know, we have our teachers, wonderful teachers, but, you know, we have a question of compensation
right. And
all of those sorts of things. So what came out of the study, especially in those particular areas?
Well, let me first of all just thank you and Tracy for spearheading and taking the lead and making this happen, because as both of you have said, we've got some pretty good schools, but you can't stand and just be good. You've got to continue to pursue that great, and excellence has been kind of the goal here. But you know, I think one of the things that has happened over time is the schools have become much more complex to run. I think people have worked hard to sustain what we've been doing. But as you mentioned, we need to continue to stay up with what's happening in the academic world, the challenges that faith formation have come to us, and the ability to maintain and attract the best. And so if you use that excellence as your goal, and you have to have teachers who work really hard, but you have to compensate them too. You can't put the heavy weight of making the budget work by paying less. Because it's real hard to maintain people if they can't make a living and have a fair wage. And if you just churn through people year after year, you lose your culture. It's hard to build on success. And so we've got to be able to find a way to address that. Obviously, one of the things we have to do is find a way to bring more funds to the schools. And looking at the diocese across the board, as you have mentioned a number of times, maybe looking at ways to bring financial assistance to a broader group, from help from the entire diocese. And so, you know, obviously that will have to be something we look at down the road. Looking at how you support a third source funding, broader development in each of those schools. And I think a much different look going forward in terms of how we collaborate together. Individual schools can become silos. And what you find in trying to work on efficiencies, there's repetitions of things going on that maybe sometimes if you did them together, you could save some money. I think sometimes working together can bring greater resources to the table in terms of what you're trying to do to provide better professional development, more financial assistance, those things that could make a difference in bringing programs like the dual language program that's here, more STEM across the board. And there's other kinds of programs out there, especially related to technology, that I think working together and collaborating together with more resources from a broader group across the schools, it could really make a difference in terms of what we're trying to accomplish.
In the diocese, of course, just not located in Des Moines here.
Right.
We have three schools in, this, right. in the rural areas, and perhaps we have plans for them. And then, of course, out in Council Bluffs, the
sure.
wonderful School of St. Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps
right.
you can, you know, I think we have Des Moines. We certainly have a plan that is going to be designed to address those issues.
Right.
And we move to the three
Absolutely.
Out in the
yeah.
country. And finally out to Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit how each of the three kind of, you know, should be attentive
sure.
to them?
Sure. Well, I think there are some things, if you take a look at what's happening in that thought about a regional system in Des Moines, you know, we have to create a broader marketing campaign that should infect everybody across the diocese. So those rural schools and St. Albert should benefit from that support of that marketing. Having a planning process in place led by the diocese and helped individually and especially in the regional area should help bring some resources to them. The financial assistance across the diocese should bring some resources to them. I think having an ability to align curriculum, again, it really comes down to if you can regionalize, you're just dealing with three major areas instead of 17 areas. And so I think the more we can concentrate on looking at ways to collaborate together in one area, that can obviously be something you can replicate over and over again. So bringing a better planning system, giving some financial assistance, giving some opportunities for curriculum alignment, strong marketing plan that can be used across the diocese. I think those are all things that even though you might say there's going to happen in one place, there's lots of ways to share that across the entire diocese.
Right, and so I think that's important that there's kind of an overarching kind
Absolutely.
Of a support system that can apply to all three areas, but then we dig a little deeper in terms of the developing the long-range plan. Each of the three of them have kind of a little different
exactly.
facet
exactly.
you mentioned.
Yeah.
I think also in terms of financial, we just really have to be very upfront about that. You talk about some help from the diocese.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's so much down the road as around the corner.
That's good.
The sooner the better.
Yeah, that we have to work at. But we're going to have
sure.
to work. It's not automatic.
Sure.
I don't
no,
know.
No.
We don't have a printing press of
you
dollars.
Don't. That's what people think all the time.
Fastball center. So we have to be, you know, conservative. But I think the other thing that I've kind of always emphasize is the government support. And long term, that's going to make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
There's two particular areas, what we call the Catholic Tuition Organization, and that distributes $3 million plus
mm-hmm.
Annually in terms of aid, particularly based on need. And so that's been a lifesaver, especially for those who do not have the same resources for their families, et cetera, that others. And, you know, when that represents, you think of a, that's probably a $30 million endowment right there
Absolutely.
In terms of 10%. And you, mm-hmm. the chances are you'd only take
5%. That's right.
So it's a $60 million endowment, which the state has provided for us. We're very grateful for it. It started out with Governor Vilsack,
mm-hmm.
and the subsequent governors and legislators have, you know, built it up
right.
from what it was at one point in time. Then there's also the issue of the ESAs, Educational Savings Accounts, that, you know, we look at the state, they have an obligation to pay for the students. That educating mm-hmm. the students is their mm-hmm. Responsibility. There is choice in education among the different districts, school districts, et cetera, and we really feel that people should have this choice. It's, you know, proven to be constitutionally valid, and so we can move in that direction. So I think we need to really work on that. That's going to depend upon us, you know, calling our legislators.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think the first thing you can tell them, Bishop Pates is a huge fan of public schools.
That's right.
You know, we got 12,000 kids in our diocese. I want the very best for them. But I think at the same time that we have these other 6,000 that we are looking at, that we really feel the parents should have the choice. And, you know, in terms of the comparative nature, they do well.
Mm-hmm.
They get, and then when they graduate, they go into the Navy, they go in the Army, they go in the Air Force. They pay their taxes, believe it or not.
That's right.
They're paying two taxes right mm-hmm. now in terms of the support of Catholic schools and the schools that they support otherwise. They're not going to give up on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to continue. So, you know, we just have to be very strong because that value-based moral education is really, in my view, a terrific, terrific gift to the broader community. And we have to make that. It's not taken. And what I really believe is not taken from public schools, but expanding the pot that mm-hmm. is out there for education. I think we're not trying to be competitive for dollars, but we're trying to be competitive, you know, in terms of support. And not, you know, we get a little tired sometimes of, you know, providing the subsidy for the state of Iowa.
That's right.
You know, but what we provide in order to educate these students. So that's just one thing I just want to emphasize that with people, it's going to cost some. So other things you might want to talk about. Dr. Bondi, as we talk about branding and marketing, you know, perhaps this is getting a little bit too much into the weeds for this particular, you know, general audience, but maybe what are some of the really basic things as we implement this plan? So the idea is that we've gone through, they've come up with a plan, it's been well received, people have basically, you know, say, let's go, but now the big part is, you know, the proof is in the pudding. How are we going to implement it?
Sure, and I think, as you mentioned, obviously marketing and rebranding the schools is going to be key to helping our enrollment efforts across the diocese and those rural areas out in Council Bluffs and here in the metro to be able to provide those resources to our schools. Additionally, I think at the end of the day, we just need to make sure that we're increasing the total number of revenue dollars that are available in our schools. We understand the parishes are struggling to maintain their level of financial support. We're going to need to look at other ways to increase those revenue dollars flowing into schools because, as Jerry mentioned, we want good quality. We want excellent quality, and the only way we're going to get that is going to be to increase our salaries across the diocese. That includes those rural areas to make sure that our teachers are being paid competitively so that they will stay with us. We can retain them long term. And that helps us to build our school culture. It helps to strengthen the faith-based communities in which our students are going to school. And the only way to do that is going to be to change the revenue stream into those schools. So we're going to need to look at those other ways to provide financial support, such as you mentioned, ESA, CTO. But certainly, I think we will be looking at a need to increase endowment funds for scholarship money for students across the system.
I think one of the issues, you know, as you look for support is that what we call the famed middle class have come to me and just said, well, you know, we're being squeezed. And so I think that's particularly attentive to that need and that situation going forward. So thank you both for the great work and leadership bringing us to this point. We're very, very grateful and look forward to building our schools and the great, great gifts that they are to the diocese.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to In the Heartland with Bishop Pates on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Ladies, please join us for our next Mosaic Luncheon on Thursday, April 11th at St. Francis in West Des Moines. Our featured speaker will be Jeanette Howe, founder of the Seven Sisters Apostolate. This apostolate is a call for individuals to spend time each week praying for their priests and bishops to help strengthen the church. Come and hear Jeanette talk about this very powerful mission. Doors will open at 11:30 and lunches serve from 12 to 1. Seating is limited, so sign up today at iowacatholicradio.com or call 515-223-1150.
Impoverished children break everyone's heart, but poverty seems like such a big problem. What can one person do to make a difference? For 17 years, Blessman International's passion has been to connect the resources of our donors with sustainable programs that impact the lives of impoverished children in South Africa. Our donors are feeding thousands of hungry children every week, providing basic water and sanitation for impoverished communities, and sharing the love of God in practical ways every day. Go to www.blessmaninternational.org and make your donation today.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates is heard every Friday morning at 9 across Central Iowa on Iowa Catholic Radio and in Nebraska and Southwest Iowa on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. Well, another great show, Bishop Pates, talking about Catholic schools.
Great. And I think what the bottom line is that we're really looking at those schools that we're trying to approve an excellent product now. But I think it's also important long term in the vision of the institutional church. And the institutional church is long, you know, has much support over the years in terms of foundational reality and presence because of our Catholic school students. They get much more engaged with the thing. And they today, you know, I think in the face, as I said, we have a huge headwinds of secularism and all of this sort of thing that we're dealing with and diminishment of the actual practice of the faith by a lot of people. So we have to be very attentive to that. And apart from the good efforts of the schools and what they do for our kids, wonderful, they also, I think, are in terms of the education. So as you know, as we look at assistance, we're also looking at assistance that would extend to others in terms of religious education, youth ministry, et cetera, in order to engage the entirety of the diocese in this program going forward. That we all have to look at it and say, you know, our concentration is on these young people. how do we deal with them at this very important age in terms of their faith development? And so much of it, as I say, has to be the witness of adults and the also their ability to somehow tap into the relational nature that we all have, but especially of kids in terms of the relationship with Jesus and with the church, that that's from that is going to develop, you know, the institution and the body of Christ, the church itself. So exciting, and, you know, exciting, I think, as it spreads out to a broader perspective with all of our children, education, religious formation education. So very happy. I'm going to be this week out in Ankeny, that great community at Our Lady's Immaculate Heart for the installation of Father Michael Amadeo, who also serves as Vicar General for the Diocese of Des Moines. As you're probably aware, Ankeny is a very lively community, lots
very
of activity
much.
And energy. And I just looked at the kind of, we're going to do the scrutinies, we're going to do the Apostolic Creed, we're going to install Father Amadeo. So lots of life in that liturgy, and we're all going to do it. You know, the people say, well, you're going to do that all. And, you know, we want to be attentive so that it works well time-wise, too. So here we come out to Ankeny. I was out at St. Luke's not so long ago, too, and wonderful, wonderful parishes. And, you know, a community that really has a great deal of pride and self-identity that, in addition to, you know, its really strong religious perspective. Then also next week, I'm going to have dinner, I think, on Sunday with our international sisters, that we have international religious women who have come to the Diocese of Des Moines. And, you know, that they have their charisms of service, of generosity, working out to people, and a very powerful witness that they render to our all of our communities. And so they're working at St. Gregory Institute out west, and then the Bishop Drum Mercy Hospital. They provide daycare for a lot of young people. And they're really, you know, it's wonderful to be with these religious women who are very, very active and providing a witness that is so very strong. And I know sometimes when you're out in the public with them, you see them that people are very much attracted to them by virtue of their simplicity, their witness, their giving. And again, it, I can think, underscores how important that witness is and the willingness to really have courage and go about it in a positive way. So, and they're fun to be with. You know, it's a good time, energy. Yeah. And then finally, I hope men's, the people of all the men are looking at Saturday, the March 30th, a week from tomorrow, I believe, for the men's conference. And they've worked very hard, have an excellent program. I very much look forward to it and to the enthusiasm. And again, to enabling the faith of the men gathered in conference like that to really gain some momentum and strength and support for the identity whom they are. So Deacon Tom Bradley has kind of been the architect of the last seven. He's done a terrific job. And I think we're going to have about three or four also permanent deacons who are very involved in the, you know, presentations themselves, et cetera, and the formulation. So again, Deacon Tom says that, you know, the deacons are a very vibrant part of the church today. He's right. And we're very grateful for everything that they do and all that they achieve.
All right. This has been another edition of In the Heartland with Bishop Pates. Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners in Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates comes to you on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com, spiritcatholicradio.com, and heard on smartphones everywhere.